Well, I was looking at our text this Sunday, and my first thought was, well, it's the Good Samaritan, so we won't talk about that because we all know about that one. And I kept coming back to it. And okay, fine. I'll see what there is. I'll see if there's something new. And then realize that, of course, there's nothing new there. But we're not called to go and look in the Bible for something new that nobody else has seen before, because it's just not there. It's been looked at for a long time. But in the same way that there's all kinds of things that we know very well, that hearing them again makes us good and better people. When was the last time, for example, one of your children, one of your parents, loved one, said, "I love you," and you thought, "Oh, well, I've heard that before"? Of course not. It doesn't have to be new to be of value. And as I was looking in Colossians, we have this interesting part in the middle there. It said, "For this reason, since the day we've heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking for God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." And I thought, well, if we want wisdom and understanding, who better than Jesus to give us some of that? And it just reminded me again that these familiar passages of Scripture are often the ones that it's really worthwhile for us to go back and look at again. And the parable of the story of the Good Samaritan is easily one of the best known in Scripture. It's known outside of Scripture. All kinds of people will talk about a Good Samaritan and have no idea that it has anything to do with the Bible. They don't even know what a Samaritan is. It's a thing. In many places, we're now seeing what they call Good Samaritan laws in a number of jurisdictions, at least in the United States. I don't know if we have any in Canada. It is illegal for you to not provide aid that you can provide aid to someone in need. And they call it a Good Samaritan law, coming obviously exactly from here. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, well, these are all worthwhile things to know. I was sort of casting my mind and my imagination to being here and looking out at you and thinking, okay, who of these people isn't going to help someone in need? The answer really is none of us. But one of the things that did strike me is the context has changed so much. And when I was growing up, and I suspect when all of us were growing up, even Melissa, this has changed in your own lifetime fairly dramatically. When we thought about our neighbor, and when we thought about this story, what we usually thought of were, of course, the people in physical proximity to us. Because, well, especially when I was growing up, that's all I knew. I mean, there was the radio. We occasionally had a television, not very often. My parents we didn't have a lot of money, and they couldn't imagine anything more worthless than a television in the summer. My dad used to rent one for us during part of the winter. I don't know if it was to watch hockey or to watch a Christmas carol with Alistair Sim around Christmas or what it was. But we'd have it when it was too cold to go outside. We never had one in the summer. So where did we know? Who are our neighbors? Well, they're the people who literally live near us. Because that's all I saw. And for the most part, that's what my parents saw. We saw the people that we were nearby. And of course we helped them because we knew who they were. It takes a really callous person to not help a neighbor, even a neighbor that you don't really like that much, who's in an actual crisis, someone you've seen over and over again, even if you've complained about how they mow their lawn too late at night or too early in the morning, or they don't pluck dandelions, whatever it might be. When they need you, you still help them. So in some ways, it was easier for us, especially when we were younger, because we never saw anyone we didn't know. So when we heard this, we thought, well, I wonder what that would be like to see a stranger. We hardly ever saw them. And then as I got older, of course, I encountered more and more, as we all do. You get jobs and you see different people. Remember when I worked in downtown Edmonton, there were the occasional mendicant, homeless person, someone who needed what I had to offer. And occasionally, back then I was a profoundly selfish person, but even then I would occasionally give people money who seemed to need it, who asked for it, and I felt very good about myself for a little while. Not sure I deserved it, but at least I felt that way for a moment. And I was thinking of all those things, and I realized that when I think of the story of the Good Samaritan, that's where I place myself, is in that context, namely the context of immediate proximity of anyone who might possibly need me. Because even when I was growing up, of course we had the news, and we knew what was going on in the rest of the world to a certain extent. I mean, the backdrop of my life, as far as sort of the larger picture, was probably the Vietnam War. And we lived in Canada. And it was there. It was inescapable. If you were around the news, it was there all the time. But when I thought of that, I didn't think of individual people because I couldn't. It was them. It was this great, vast expanse. And you'll notice that when this expert in the law comes to test Jesus and asks him, you know, what do I need to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asks him, or says, you know, what is written in the law? How do you see what you need to do? And he responds exactly the same way Jesus did earlier. I've occasionally wondered if he was part of that crowd when somebody else tried to trip up Jesus by asking him the same question. So he figured he'd just give it right back to him. And Jesus said, well, there you go. That's what you do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself, and you'll be fine. He says, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus doesn't tell him a story about a people group. Jesus doesn't tell him a story about a demographic, an identifiable socioeconomic unit in our culture, because we don't relate to those. We don't relate to countries, at least not very well. We don't relate to cities. We don't relate to nations or races or anything very well, except it seems in very negative ways. If you spend any time sort of looking at our culture, you'll see how easy it seems to be for us to hate another country or another group. But we find it very hard to love countries and groups. Most of us don't do it very well. We don't even think of it. And Jesus doesn't say that we should in this story. What Jesus says is you need to respond to the needs of the person that needs what you have to offer. Well, one of the things that has changed in social media is it has allowed us to see individuals for who they are and what they are, namely individuals, in a way that we never could before. It showed up now and then. I mean, we all remember the so-called human interest stories in the television news or the radio or even the newspaper where they zero in on one heartwarming story from somewhere in the world and it made us feel good and that was lovely and I think that was a wonderful thing. But there was never any possibility of connecting with that person, at least very seldom. The opportunities that I had in the first two-thirds of my life to sort of interact with people in need were in large groups that were hard to connect with through other large groups that were equally hard to connect with. Not that I didn't and not that I shouldn't have, but you gave to missions to go to that group. A good thing. Much good was done, but it never really grabbed me. But things have changed. And when I look at this story now, I wonder if one of the applications is for us to spend a little less time ignoring the good parts of the social media world that's driving us kind of crazy. I had an exchange with my brother-in-law last little while as we're going through plans for funerals and that kind of thing. It reminds you that you haven't spoken to your siblings and you do it a little bit more frequently. And we were talking and I can't remember how Twitter came up, but he said, oh yeah, that's exactly why I go on Twitter maybe twice a year. He said, I go on there and he suddenly realizes how angry he has become. And so we tend to look at social media, at least a particular kind of it, is it's just as complete, it's like it's a net loss. There's no value there at all. And it's true, lots of it is without value. But one of the things that it does do, and that it can do for us, is let us see who our neighbor is. Because we do have neighbors that are more than just the people we live nearby. We do have the possibility now of making a meaningful difference in the lives of people who aren't just near us. And this doesn't mean that we now need to go online and look for every worthwhile cause, of which there are millions, to try and do something worthwhile. But I think what it does, for those of us who are feeling a little disconnected maybe of the neighbors that we have or the people that we're around, they don't need us, at least they don't seem to. I can't remember the last time I came across somebody who'd been beaten up and had his clothes stolen. Other than, well, never. It's never happened to me, and I hope it never does. But what I have seen is I've seen opportunities that have come before me through, through social media, a large group of things that I usually deplore, I've seen opportunities where I can make an actual and worthwhile difference in the life of another human being. And what struck me this week is I was looking at this thinking, what do I have to say about this passage of Scripture? What does this passage of Scripture have to say to me? Is what it said to me, is it said, you, just like that expert in the law, need to expand your definition of a neighbor. Because what Jesus is getting at here in this story, which is obvious to us all, is that people who need us have a legitimate call on who we are and what we have. They are our neighbor, even if it's the first time we've ever seen them. And when we have the opportunity to make a difference to that person, then we have a responsibility to do so. And it's true, for most of us, we can go days or weeks or months without seeing a person in the same way we're seeing each other that needs what we have to offer. Because the people we're around, that's how many of us see thousands of different people in a week or a month? None of us do. We see the people we're with, and we've helped them in the past, they've helped us, whatever it might be, they're okay, for lack of a better word. But when that story crosses your feed, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or whatever they might be, and it resonates with you as this is someone who needs something that I have to offer, whether it's money or whether it's a message of encouragement or whatever it is, that person has now become your neighbor. And that's something I had never thought of, which is, you know, kind of embarrassing considering what I do for a living both here and during the week. It had never crossed my mind that Jesus says, your neighbor is the one who needs something that you can provide. Now, Jesus doesn't say that when you see needs, you must meet them all. There's no suggestion in here that the Samaritan was required to impoverish himself at the expense of his own family and responsibilities to care for a stranger. He did what he was able to do. And that's what we're called to do. Our neighbor is anyone who needs what we have to offer. And sometimes that's 2 silver coins. Sometimes it's words. Sometimes it's an email or a comment somewhere. Sometimes it's prayer. We're called to do these things regardless of previous connection. That's what Jesus is getting at here. A Samaritan is helping somebody who, all things being equal, probably hates them, and maybe even vice versa. Like, we don't really have the equivalents of this level of prejudice in Canada. Not that Canada is free of prejudice by any means, but we don't have that same visceral connection with this. I mean, I've heard people trying to turn it into something, you know, so the tale of the Samaritan who takes care of a terrorist or something of that nature. It still doesn't get at what's going on. Of generations of racial and religious hate is something we simply don't understand the same way, and I'm glad for that. What Jesus is saying is that people who have no obvious connection can help each other, and if they are followers of him, have an obligation to help each other when they can. And that's what struck me, is that for our context, the neighbor isn't the person who lives in close physical proximity, which it wasn't then either, but it's also not just the person that we physically encounter as we go about our business, although that is still the case too. It's more than that for us. Because we now have the opportunity not to connect with the great mass of famine somewhere, although we should be moved by that and do what we can also. But there will be stories that cross our way where a human being just like us, just like our kids, just like our parents, just like our friends, needs something that we can provide. And there's a connection there. And that connection makes that person our neighbor. It's the first thing I've found. Once again, this is perhaps a little shameful to admit, but this is the first thing I've found that redeems social media for me. that lets me see the profound value it can have, not just in connecting like-minded people, which has its own benefits and drawbacks, but in its ability to connect us to people who need what we have to offer, and that we can do it in the same way that the Samaritan took care of a poor victim on a road. We can take care of victims in the same way all around the world. Being a good Samaritan is no longer just a matter of who you can see. It's no longer limited by our physical presence. We now have an opportunity to minister the same way to people that maybe we will never meet physically, but we can still have the same profound effect on them. And when we do so, when we work out the reality of this story that Jesus told, we do so once again for the glory of God. We do it because we follow Jesus, who told us that this is how you recognize a neighbor, and then this is what you do. Amen.